Amen. Well, the title of this is called Love or Losing, and we've been talking about connecting the dots, right? Connecting the dots and trying to figure out different things in our lives with God. And we've talked about the putting God, loving God first and seeking the kingdom was the last one we did. And this one is going to be a little bit, coming from a little bit different angle, but I believe it's as critical as all the other ones. And so we're going to, if you would turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to pick up in verse 1, and we're going to read through a few verses. I may not read it all right this second, but we'll get into all of it through verse 9 this morning. Now, Adam had some stuff with his wife. There's some little ones. Eve, and she became pregnant. I don't know how. They looked at each other, and it happened. And when she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from the flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Now, what I do want to start off saying is this, is that I know in the culture of church and the tradition of church over the last, you know, decade or so or a little bit more, you've probably heard the statement that the tithe is no longer, it doesn't matter anymore, but that in itself contradicts God, because the Bible says that God never, he never changes, right? He's always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. What I would say is this, is that in that, maybe in not understanding that in, because of the New Testament, God has given us grace to be able to understand it, that he gives us the grace to become aware of that. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is not so much tithing and money as it is about the heart behind a giving heart, behind giving in general, whether this be financially, whether this be with your life, whether this be whatever, serving the church, however it may be. And as I was reading this, I was reminded of a story the other day. Alicia had gotten sick a couple of weeks ago, walking pneumonia, and you guys couldn't tell, she still leads worship the same, but you know, hey, she has a special gift. And so anyway, she wasn't feeling good, so I told her, I said, hey, I'm going to go grocery shopping, I'll take Jay with me. And so we went to the store, we're shopping, and as we walk by, there's flowers set up. And Jay and I were like, I was like, oh, look at the flowers. She's like, we should get some for mom. And I was like, yeah, let's get some for mom. Let's get her some. And in that moment, the whole concept of this love or losing is where this comes into play, is that I could have easily looked at this is an opportunity to love my wife, or this is an opportunity to lose money. Right? I could have looked at it depending on the relationship. I could have looked at, I'm losing money, I'm losing $12 to flowers that are going to die in a week, or I'm gaining some points. If y'all come to the X and O marriage, you'll understand that this week. I'll mow your grass. You'll get it next year. But this is the deal, is that I could have easily looked at this as I'm losing something or I'm gaining something. And this is the story of Cain and Abel. You see, I believe that this wasn't about the fact that Cain gave him like plants and vegetables and stuff, and God didn't like vegetables because he wasn't a vegetarian. He wasn't dealing with that. He liked steak, throw me a steak. And so he preferred Abel's over because it was a steak and it was a cow and it was all this stuff. It wasn't about those things. And I think that we have to understand that accepting or rejecting isn't about what you bring. It's about how you bring it. It was about the process of time. It was in this. So I'm going to, here in a moment, I'm going to give you a little bit better illustration of that. But it says this. It says in verse 3, it says, when it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops. It says some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Now, actually, a better rendering of the tradition of the scripture with Cain, it says, in the process of time, right? So, basically, if I can break it down for 2019, when I feel like it, I'll get to it. this is what the whole concept was, is that when I feel like it, I'll get to you, God. Abel was like, God, you are my first and my priority, so therefore I think about you first before I give anything else. Right? And so here is this first versus the process of time. So we've got this. This is what God is. So God, does God not like Cain? And he has something against him? Or what is this deal? Because it says that it goes later on and it says this. The Lord accepted Abel's gift, but he did not accept Cain's. But Cain gave something. So did Abel. So to break this illustration down a little bit better, I wanted to do something. Okay? So for any of you this morning who would like to do this illustration with me, I would like you to come up and get your offering and drink it. Right? I've been sipping on this all day in the process of time. And now I would like to give you my offering. Right? But why? It's 10%. But this is 10% too. It's never been opened. Right? And so this is the deal, is that what he's saying is that what Abel did is he brought him a fresh bottle of water and said, God, I'm going to pour out my offering to you first, then I will drink from it. What Cain did was, I'm going to drink all of it but the last 10%, and then I will give it to you and my life is perfect and okay and I've got it all worked out. Do you see the difference in giving? Do you see the difference? So many of us, it's like, man, I tithe, I give some. But do you understand how that speaks from the heart? I mean, I know we don't really think of it like that sometimes, but I gave some. I mean, if it's 7% or 8% or 5% or whatever, I gave some. But how many of you know, none of y'all are going to line up here and come get a drink of this? Anybody want a drink of this? Please come up and get a drink. That'd be great for the video. Right? But if I was to say, hey, somebody come up, please take a drink of this, just take 10%, anybody would come up and drink from this. Because anybody's willing to drink the first of anything. Right? Anybody ever ask you, oh, you see somebody drinking, you're like, oh, let me have a drink, and then you realize it's been open for a while, and you're like, oh, never mind, I'm out. Just kidding, right? And so this is really what's happening in this. And so a lot of us are trying to connect with God, but we're going through the motions. We're doing things, but how many of you know it doesn't matter if you're doing it out of order? That if you're making sure that you give God something, but you're making sure, I mean, when I get to it, I'll get to it. What you're doing is you're expressing and exposing the condition of your heart, right? You and I, we don't intend to be like, I don't want to make God last, but, I mean, I've been struggling with my bills. But how can God step in when you're putting more faith in the mortgage company and you're putting more faith in the bills that you've got to pay rather than the God that you serve? Because the Bible says that he is the one that gives the seed to the sower, right? And so the attitude of the heart is what actually determines what's accepted or rejected. It's actually your heart. It's not the fact that Cain brought something. It was in the fact that his heart was proven when it was, because it was the process of time, right? And many of us are trying to make this connection with God, but we've got God first because we come to church. We've got God. But when it comes to finances, it's like, I mean, I'll pray about that one, right? Because I believe there is nothing greater that's connected to your heart than your finances. We work hard for that money, right? You work diligently. You do a lot of things to be able to have it. But this is the deal. I wasn't going to go here, but I think I'm going to just for a moment. In Matthew chapter 6, it says this: don't store up treasure here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasure in heaven. Okay? It says this: where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Get this, right here it is. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Right? So what this is telling me is that you can't separate the treasure of your life and your heart. They are in sync together. They go hand in hand. Right? And so this is what was happening, is Cain was trying to separate his treasure from his heart, but God understood his heart, so he knew his treasure. Does that make sense? And so I think it's important to understand that giving is a great revealer of what place God is in our lives. In that, Cain exposed to God where God was in his life. Right? He exposed that. Now, I know this is one of those sermons. It's like, it's not going to get a lot of amens, and I understand that. But what I want to do, look, we were shouting me down the first two sermons, right? So you either got to believe me or just think I'm trying to take your money, right? You either got to believe God's word or you got to think, man, this pastor's all about money. If you stay here very long, you'll know this church ain't about money. It's about one thing, giving away money. We live our lives to give and to bless and to touch people's lives. And the why is because what happens is the more that we do that, we become like God. And the more that happens, we become givers and we become like God. And so then it's just a life of generosity. It's one of the four core values of our church is generosity. Why? Because I believe it connects us. There is nothing greater that connects us to God than like giving. Right? And so giving your best, how many of you know that giving your best isn't about a possession? It's not about that. It's not about the possession. It's about a heart position. Possessions just expose the heart position. See, that's what happened to Cain and Abel. If you would have been looking at them and talking with them, you would have think they both love God the same. Right? Until this next requirement came, which was giving. And in them, giving is what exposed their possessions or their position in their heart. Right? And so what happens for me is there's times in my life where Alicia and I've been tithing since I was 19 years old. Before I was really serving God like I should have been, I was still tithing. And I don't know why, but hey. And I think you'd be amazed to see what transpires when you are allowing God to be your provision and to be your source, to be the one who's providing for you rather than your own ethic, your work ethic, and all that thing. Because how many of you know we got some work grinders in here? Y'all can work. You can grind. But how many of you know that doesn't take place of God? Like, that doesn't position you in God's life. He doesn't say, well, because you worked hard, you're first in my place. Right? See, what's first in your heart is what will be given through your life. Whatever is first in you is what you give from. So there's this tension that happens. And then in verse 5, it goes on and it says this. It says, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. Now, I believe this is where a lot of us can fall into this, is that now, because God isn't accepting it, Cain gets mad at God instead of Cain getting mad at himself. See, Cain should have got frustrated at himself because he realized God isn't first in my life. And I've realized that he's not accepting me because he thinks I'm less. He's not accepting me because I'm not making him first. Now, how many of you know that just because God may not be first in our lives doesn't mean he's still not first? God is always first, whether we want to allow him to be in that position or not. He's God, creator of the earth. He is going to be first place no matter what. And so he's not going to let something else in our lives fall into first place and him be okay with it. Right? And so Cain had an opportunity in this moment not to get angry, but to react and say, okay, God, I'm sorry that I actually realized that I haven't been putting you first. Right? So this is a great indicator because it exposes to Cain an opportunity where he can still put God first, right? And I know for me, human nature, it's the tendency is to be like, man, I failed God, I let him down, he doesn't want me anymore. That's not anywhere in here. That's where the enemy steps in and says, man, you are never, and he starts making us, and he starts eating our minds, and starts just putting crazy stuff in our heads and making us think things that God never said about us. Because this is where I think the difference is in the New Testament, is that God may not have accepted them then, but I believe that God gives us the grace today to walk in a way that we can begin to understand him and begin to live that out over the course of time. That God begins to give us the grace to understand, hey, you're not failing me. I'm just showing you an area in your life where you're not letting me be first. And he does it with a loving father way. And that's the power of the New Testament in with this. But we can't eliminate this and say, well, that's not how God functions anymore. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is he or not, right? And so what happens is this, is that what this did is it exposed an internal issue, right? And so the point is this, is an external offering exposes internal conditions. That's what happens, is that when you're giving something externally, whether it be service of your time, and somebody's like, hey, can you come and do this for me? And you have an opportunity in that moment to say, you know, whatever, and it exposes the condition of your heart, right? It's not just about money. It's not just about finances and giving. This is not just about that. This is about the condition of our heart. And what it does is it exposes to us ourselves. And sometimes I didn't know where I was generosity-wise until I had an opportunity to give. I'm like, man, I tithe way more than 10%. And I could allow myself to be generous based on what I tithe until God asks me to give something different than what I'm tithing. Does that make sense? Right? I was just talking to Alicia this week, and she is the much more generous one of the couple. She would give our house away, and we would live in the shed and be like, awesome. I mean, she may not do that, but I'm in the relationship in the beginning, I was a much better steward. And so what's helped is that I've helped her become a better steward of our money. She's helped me become a better person with generosity. And so my nature is to be stingy, right? To squeak when I walk. Save, 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 right? But how many of you know that's anti-God? You have to be, don't be amening, all right? It is what I am. I mean, I grew up with cleaning out Ziplocs and, you know, washing them out and letting them dry in this faucet, you know? I can't help it. Y'all don't know nothing about that, right? Yeah, come on, amen. Yeah. Got to use a drop of Dawn, scrub it, soak it, hot water, flip it up. Amen. Yeah. So y'all are like, I don't even know what he's talking about. That's poor. That's poor for you. That's in other words what I'm saying. I was broke. But this is the thing is that whenever I have an opportunity to give, it exposes whether I'm more like God or more like me. And anytime I'm more like me, I need to go ahead and give it because it makes me more like him. Right? It exposes an internal condition in my life. And what this is doing is it's connecting me to a place in God, and it's saying, look, I know you're good in all these other areas, but man, your generosity is struggling right now. You're depending too much on your job or all these other things instead of me. And really, this is what was happening, is Cain was showing to God who he trusted. Cain was showing that he trusted in his farming abilities rather than God, right? It's easy for us to trust in our work ethic and in our ability of knowledge and wisdom, and we've been somewhere, we've done something for years, and we can have faith in that. But what if God is challenging you to give beyond your wisdom and have to step out and be generous in an area that is unlike and it's not comfortable for you, right? But look, at the end of the day, if we're really trying to connect with God, the greatest way that you can connect with God, I should say not the greatest, but one of the greatest ways to connect with God is to learn to be generous, to learn to trust God in the tithe, to learn trust in God in the offering. Let me just say this, and this, you will not hear this typically from a pastor, but if you're not giving 10%, you're only giving an offering. You're only giving something, and so you're expecting the benefits of a tithe, but God can't bless you unless it's a tithe. Because God is requiring, just like he was Abel and Cain, and he's saying, this is what was required. Listen to this. This is what Abel gave. This is why he was accepted, okay? It says this. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd and Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, listen to this word, the best. Meaning, and it says this, not only the best, of the firstborn. So this is the deal. He could have given a blind cow that was firstborn, but he didn't, because it was not a true offering. He gave the best of the firstborn. In other words, he gave the best. He said whenever he got his check, he gave him the best. He gave him the first thing. But then this is interesting, because then it goes on and it says, from the flock, and then it actually says in another version, and it says, and the fat portions, which is another, like, I'm letting you know that I'm giving you the best that I've got, God. I'm giving you everything that I've got, and I'm giving you the best. And so we see here the struggle between Abel and Cain. And Abel gets accepted. Cain gets rejected. And how many of you know that sets up a standard for us to be like, okay, I'm either going to allow what I see in the natural to determine my future. Because Cain could have looked and said, look, I mean, this is all I've got for the rest of the year. This is my harvest. And he could have easily looked at it, and that's probably what happened, is he looked at his limitations naturally rather than his abundance spiritually when he honors God. And so many of us are we are hooked by the enemy saying, look at your natural situation. Look at it. My brother, he's 45 years old. He's got his own business. He started tithing a year and a half or two ago. Got resaved, if you want to say it. Started tithing. He'd been believing God. Before this, he was not believing God. He was just trying to make his company get to a certain place. Okay? He started tithing. In 2 months, the same problem that he was trying to overcome for 8 years, he did in 2 months because he started tithing. He started tithing and continued to do this. And God said, look, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you retire early. This is what I want you to do. And he gave him a game plan. He told him, this is what I want you to do. You're going to be able to pay off your house, and you're going to be able to pay off your business. Last month, my brother sent me a text, and he said, hey, just want to let you know. He said, I've been tithing and doing all this stuff. And he said, I'm paying off my business tomorrow. And then we started talking, I called him. I'm like, dude, you got to tell me the whole story. Like, this is awesome. He said, after I got off the phone with you, I got so stoked, I went ahead and paid it off today. But you realize he was only able to do that because he was continually putting God first. And when you put God first, God has a response, and he has to honor his word. He is responsible to his word. He is not responsible to what you and I say. He is bound to this. And so whatever he says, he does. And it was amazing to see just my brother and the fact that I knew him and I knew his story and I knew what he was going through, and to see how God just did what he did. And he said his house will be paid off in the next 7 or 8 months. 45 years old, a business paid off, a house paid off, and all the kids out of the house. Can you get an amen? Right? And now so most of us are envious of that. When we hear that, we're like, man, why can't I have a house paid off? Why can't I? But are we trusting him? Are we depending and really relying on him to see God move in our lives? Because this goes back to connect the dots. This is part of the equation, is us giving to God first, making him a priority, because when we make him a priority, we stamp him as our Lord and Savior, right? Nothing else is our Lord and Savior. Nothing else is driving or guiding our lives, right? And so where there's external resistance, it's the result of an internal surrender. If you're tension, if you have external resistance, it's the reason why is there's some internal surrender. There's this like, I know it, but I can't give it. I've been there. I know what it's like. I remember when God asked us to give a huge check, and I was like, I think I missed that one, Lord. I think I need to go back and pray. And Alicia and I, we both prayed, and it was like, no, that's what it is. And how many know there was some internal surrender going on with me? I was like, I don't know if I want to give that. But what was that? That was exposing to me, do I really trust God? I think this, I can trust God for the tithe, but when it goes here, I don't know about that. Right? I've heard incredible testimonies of people, and when they make the decision to trust God, God always steps in their life. Every time. It's always. You can take it to the bank. If God writes you a check, you can cash it. Come on, how many of you know you've ever gotten a check from somebody and be like, Lord Jesus, I pray that this check will go through. Lord, I want you to know this morning that if you will rely on God, you can go ahead and take the check to the bank. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. Come on, it's in his word. It is his nature and his character. How many of you know that giving comes from two places, trust or fear, right? The reason you don't give is because of fear. The reason you do give is because of trust. So many of us in here this morning, we're wrestling with fear. We're struggling with fear. Fear is putting faith in nothing. And it's exposing that, man, we really don't have faith in God, right? We don't want to say that, right? None of us want to say that. I mean, no, we're Christians. We need to believe God. He is, you know. But let's be honest, I've struggled in fear. I've questioned, am I hearing God? Is this something from Him? But then, well, the only thing that counter-reacts fear is trust. The only thing that's that you got, you finally to say, okay, God, I've got to trust you. Your word says this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do this. And you see the beauty of what happened with Cain and Abel. Is that God, it says God accepted Abel's offering. Amen. He accepted it. And many of our external responses are the result of this resistance of whether we think God is really, really who He says He is. And I think that we're all in different stages in our journey with God. I think some of us are just beginning. Some of us have never tithed. Some of us have been tithing for 50 years. But I believe that this is what always keeps all of us on equal playing field. Is giving, because what is requiring of you as a tither for 50 years and what's requiring of the person who's never tithes is the same thing. Trust God. That's what I love about God is we're all equals. For the millionaire, it's 10%. For the person who's got $10 in their account, 10%. This is the story of the woman. It says, and God sat by the offering box. Came over, and all these people were coming, and they're giving to God. They're giving to the kingdom, and He sits here. He's like, oh, man, that guy gave a lot. You hear all that money? You know, they're making a loud noise, jingling, letting the Lord know, I'm giving big today. And drops it in there. And then this little woman, it says, came and gave two mites. And He says to His disciples, He was letting them understand a lesson. It says, she gave two mites, but she gave more than all of them. Right? Because we can get so hung up on amount. It is about amount, but it's not. It's about amount and it's about heart. And if you take those two out of each other, then you mess up the entire equation. The Bible says that Jesus said that she gave more than all. That those two mites were less than a half of a penny in our today's society. But she gave more than people with bags of money because of her heart. Then it goes on and it says this. Verse 6, why are you so angry? The Lord asks Cain. What an interesting question that He asks him. Why are you so angry? Like, I mean, I didn't accept it, but you know what you were supposed to give. Why are you mad at me? You knew that this was how it was. And the Lord asked Cain, He says, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted. Listen to this. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. So what is Jesus letting us know? He's letting us know that sin only has power where we enable it. Sin only has power where Christ is not Lord. Sin loses its power anytime we put God first in our lives. Right? He says, don't let it subdue you. You master it. Right? And so this is the point I want you to know is this. Is anything that remains unsubmitted to God carries control over you. The reason why Cain had lost all of his ways was because he became unsubmitted to God. Because what Abel was doing is he was declaring to God, God, I am fully submitted to you. I am fully submitted to you. Now, how many of you know that word unsubmitted, I mean, or submitted is relative to what's going on in our lives. Like, we can be submitted to God when it comes to purity, but unsubmitted to Him when it comes to giving. We can be submitted to God when it comes to being faithfully coming to the church and serving. But we could be unfaithful when it comes to something else, unsubmitted in certain areas. So what my point is that you can't categorize yourself as submitted to God until you're submitted in these areas. Right? And sometimes we justify one area, right? Well, I mean, I'm submitted in this area, so I mean, God's going to accept me. No, that's not how it works. God set up, he set up the playbook for how you, this is how you win. If you do this play and you throw the ball over there, touchdown. But you can't do it any other way. You can't do an audible and say, God, I'm scared. God, I'm scared. I'm going to throw it. I'm going to hand it off. We don't get that privilege. We either trust him or we don't. And this is not about the church getting your money. I fear never to speak about money, because I believe this is something that the enemy is stealing and robbing from believers that could be living an abundant life, but because they are bound by fear and the voice of the enemy saying, you can't do that, you can't do that. I just gave you an incredible testimony of a man who for 40 years did not trust God and chose to trust God. In a matter of a year and a half, his business has projected and it's continued to go up. He's now sold. His business is paid for. His house is going to be paid for. That's not by accident. That is because that's the power of trusting in God. See, sin only has control based on what we give it control. Sin doesn't be like, oh man, I just took over our lives. Sin doesn't just take over your life. You and I have the power to master it. And look, I know this is a tough thing because it's like, man, I don't know how I'm going to get my business. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Look, if you continue to try to figure out how God's going to, you're going to always have something worked out to try to skirt around having to trust God. But you will continually live your life and try to get where you're trying to get and always come up short. Because this is where we learn to trust God. This is where we get to see God. I mean, there was a year when me and Alicia first got married that we didn't even make this, but we had $30,000 worth of debt paid off in 1 year. Because of us trusting God, we upped our tithe. We said, God, we're going to put all of our faith in you. And in 1 year, over $30,000 worth of debt was gone. How? Because of God. And look, this isn't about me giving to God so I can get. If you do that, if it's all about that, you're exposing your heart already. It's not about me giving to God so I can get. It's about giving to God so God can give back, so I can bless someone else, so I can constantly be a blessing, right? It's the difference between a pond and a river, right? Giving to get is a pond. It's all about if I give God his thing, well, then he'll just keep giving me stuff. And then I can just have a bigger house, a bigger car, a bigger, nicer shoes, blah, blah, blah. And it's all about the temporal, right? Got to throw shoes in there. But if you tithe and you give just to bless God and to let him know you're first, God, you're first. You create a river. And you know what? Out of my house, I have a creek, and I can go dip a cup of water, and I can give it away, and I could do that all day long. And that creek will continue to run. But you know what? Somebody else gets refreshed by every cup that I pull out of it and give it. Because that's what happens when you give, is you create a river in your life. A stream of blessing in your life where you can fully depend and rely and say, well, this doesn't even come from me. This comes from my Father, and he's good. And I want you to know. I want you to know that when you buy those groceries and you bless somebody and you say, oh, I'm just blessed because I give and I trust God and he's good to me. And I just take another scoop and I give it to somebody else at the gas station. And I get another one and I give it to him when I'm sitting at a coworker and I say, hey, let's go to lunch. It's on me today. And Father, And you can live this place. See, it's terrible when you're restricted because in a pond, you're afraid when the water's going to dry out, it's done. You're limited in your ability to be a blessing. And this is what the enemy wants to do. Is he wants to lock you in and keep you bound and living from a pond when you could live from a river. Amen? If you would stand with me this morning. Look, I challenge you. Look, even Alicia and I, we got to a place where tithing It didn't challenge our faith anymore. We got to the place where it was like, man, this is just, it doesn't take faith to rely on God anymore. And every year, you can only give a tithe. Like, you can't, I mean, you can call it a double tithe, but a tithe is 10%. So anything over 10% is an offering. But Alicia and I, when we first got married, we said, this is what we're going to tithe. And every year, our tithe increases. And every year, it goes up. I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying for us, that's how we live. We want to be able to trust God, and we want God to be our main source, that we rely and we trust on Him. There are many days when we look at something that we really want and say, man, if we didn't give us much, we could do that. But you know what that does? It exposes my heart. It says, oh, maybe you need to give more then, brother, because your heart is getting corrupt. Right? But every time that Alicia and I have trusted God, it gives God an opportunity to reveal Himself in a new way in our lives. And I believe that many of you have not got to see the magnitude and the beauty of who God is simply because you haven't been able to trust Him. Don't allow fear to grip you. God is the God of all. He is your source. You know, we love the Psalms 23. For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want, and blah, 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 and He takes them. Do you know the whole point of that is this, is it says that He leads me. So in other words, the sheep had to trust the shepherd. And He took them through all different phases, all different things, but do you trust me? My point is this, is you can tithe and say, okay, we're going to tithe. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be magically wiped away. We have a couple in our church, they started tithing, they said, we're going to start tithing, and immediately stuff started happening to them. Was that God cursing them and saying, stepping in? No, that was the enemy challenging whether they, are you really, really real about tithing? So this isn't this magic wand. This is about a heart thing. And I want you to leave this place knowing that this is about our hearts, not about what we give. Amen? But I believe that this year will be your best year. When you can say, God, like, this is tough, and be honest. Like, God knows your checkbook. He understands how tight things are. You don't have to tell Him, say, God, I mean, do you know? He knows. He knows. He knows every bill. He knows bills that are coming that haven't come. But He also knows who He is. And it goes back to last week's sermon that we can worry or we can trust. But I want you to know that God will take care of you. He's faithful. He's faithful. This morning, I just want to pray over you this morning. If you say, that's me, I just want to get to the place where I can trust Him fully in that. That's a struggle for me. It's an area that I've struggled with. But I believe that God can change that. If that's you this morning, if you would just slip your hand up real quick, and I just want to pray over you. Thank you for those hands all over. Awesome. Man, thank you, Lord. You see these people being honest, God, and that's tough, God, in the atmosphere like this, God, to be so transparent, God. I thank you that, God, you see their struggles. You see the turmoil internally, God. You see, God, the war that's on the inside, God. But, God, I pray that you would rest, that you would just rest in their heart, God, that you would give them peace. To not see what they're missing out on, but to see what they're gaining. God, that we're not missing out on something, God, but we're actually gaining a Father. We're gaining access to unlimited realm because we trust in you, God. We love you, God. Father, help them walk out this journey. God, protect their minds, protect their hearts. God, be their provision and their source. We love you, God. This morning, if there's anybody in here and you would say, I haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life, but I want to commit to Christ. I want to give my life to Him for the first time, or I want to rededicate my life to Him. I want to live out my life serving Him. If that's you this morning, if you would just slip your hand up real quick and you can set it right back down. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else this morning, you'd say, that's me. If you would pray this prayer with me this morning, just say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that Jesus died on the cross for those sins, that he raised again on the third day. So, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I ask you, Jesus, to reveal the destiny and the purpose you have for my life. In Jesus' name, amen." For those of you who raised your hand, I just want to welcome you. Amazing. Somebody's got a gift for you here. Just a minute. They'll find you and give it to you.